Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Ding, 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 dear Blurtizens. Yes, you hear that right. Yes, it's the sounds of ya boy, the roguest of Jedis, back at it again with yet another podcast. The gang is back together, and we're back for another Hood Summit.
Yes, we have the Dr. Puff Samurai, the Absolute Meech, and the Fallen Shinigami all back together. Definitely happy to kind of round out Season 5, Part 2. Definitely needed a break, but excited to get here. So I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Demetrius.
And I'm Paulina.
And Meech presents
the Blurred City Podcast.
All right, so since we've been gone for about two-ish months or so, I thought it was a proper time to have a Blurred Summit, essentially to kind of talk about what has been happening in the nerddom space as 2025 has occurred, since we're towards the end of it, then also heading into the end of 2025, and then going forward into 2026, just to discuss some of the things that we liked, some trends that we're noticing, maybe some things that we didn't notice, and then towards the end of the episode, if you want to, and if you have seen the Demon Slayer Infinity Castle movie, we will do a very brief review of it, just talking about how we thought about the show. Not our typical movie review, but it's something that we're definitely excited for. Meech, you have thoughts?
Oh yeah, so as you know, like we've all been out for a good minute, and of course it's when we're out that the most stuff just starts dropping left and right, and it's like, okay, we got tons of content to deliver to the peoples when we come back. So I'm glad we're able to come back and be able to bless y'all's ears with this hood rat activity.
Yes, I mean, even as you mentioned that, like just like this week, like 10 different trailers dropped like in the past 2 days, which was crazy. So we're going to jump into as much as we can. This is going to be a fun episode. But before we can do anything, hit us with that legal spiegel.
Yep. So as y'all know, the purpose of this podcast is to explore digital and print media. All sources we reference are owned by their respective companies, and our thoughts and opinions are strictly our own and reflect no biases or corporate agendas. Your discretion is advised.
All right. So quick housekeeping for next week, since this is October, since we are getting into our spooky month, we're going to be covering Black Phone 2. Black Phone 1 is, I believe we recapped it on our Patreon. Definitely a surprise horror hit. I was talking to you, Meech. I was like, I didn't even think they would need a sequel, but based on kind of just like what happened, you explained like, oh, it's possible for this to be a sequel. So that's something we'll be covering next week. As we touch into the summit, we can start with favorite movies, TV shows of the year so far. So Pauline, if you want to start with us.
Man, they always start with me. So I'm going to be honest, y'all. I feel like I haven't really been to the movies in forever. The last thing I saw was Demon Slayer movie, but I have been in my anime bag for like the past couple months, and I'm only going to mention the shows that are new and not continuing, because then this list would be about 30 different things. So I have like about five things that I think were my favorites this year. I have Zenshu, which I'm pretty sure is an original anime that was about a mangaka that got isekai'd. And not only was the action and animation beautiful, it was absolutely hilarious. And so if you haven't checked that out, if it flew under the radar for you, highly recommend. Of course, new shonen juggernaut was Gachi Akuta. They just started their second core. Yo, this is dark and I love it.
So they went back to back on it, because I thought they stopped at episode 13. So they're still going?
Yeah, they're going back to back. So it's still listed as part of the winter 2025 lineup. Another one, sleeper hit, Clevitus. It is a fantasy anime. And imagine, what's it called? What is it? Buddy Daddies or something like that came out a couple years
ago. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And but imagine that with an eldritch horror. So hilarious. It's amazing. The animation is not great. I didn't even. So to be fair, it's not terrible, but it's not like Jujutsu Kaisen.
I mean, what is?
Yeah. It's not that level, but it's decent enough for you to continue watching. And I think the story is great. I don't know if this counts as shoujo, but it's another fantasy anime. I think fantasy anime has been killing it this year. So Secrets of the Silent Witch. If you love cutesy, I don't know if it's moe, but it's shoujo romance, a fantasy. This is a great time. I finished the season in like a day or two, 13 episodes, amazing. And then last but not least, I'm cheating, because it really came out fall 2024, but I feel like it didn't get enough buzz when it came out, is Yakuza Fiance. Now, if you like a good toxic relationship, you will love Yakuza Fiance. It is hilarious. It is, the art style is unique, and it is just a great time. So all my toxic guys and girls and everything in between, watch Yakuza Fiance. But I think that's all I got. Your girl got her PhD and started a new job. So I haven't been in my nerd bag this year, and I'm very sad about it.
Manish, what you got?
All right, so my nerd bag, it's actually kind of leaning more less with anime, but more in the other realms, because you know, hey, we got to be well rounded. She mentioned a lot of things. You know, hey, My Hero Academia came back. That first episode, you know, we had them hands.
No spoilers.
We had them hands. That's all I'm saying.
You gotta catch up, Polly.
Yeah, you really do.
The first episode just came out, and I don't even know if they're simulcasting it. So y'all know I like the dub. So I don't even know why.
I'll be honest with you. I started My Hero in dub, and then I think I think it was COVID when that hit, they started being weird with simulcasts all across the anime, and then I switched over to the sub. And I just be back and forth.
I don't know what it is, but if I start watching it in one language, I have to continue it. Like, there's something about that switch that throws off my brain. See, yeah, they haven't, man. Simul dubs used to be the standard. Now look at us, 2 weeks behind, 3 weeks behind. It's dumb.
It ain't even that bad, but also my favorite family's back on there now. The Spy Family, you know, they back, and it already got me laughing in the first episode. I'm like, yep, we're back in form. That's all I needed. But yeah, moving on in terms of like other stuff that I actually like really liked and that's actually like on the air as of right now, Peacemaker season 2, the ultimate, like the twist of that reveal, had people going like, oh, we doing this? To which I'm like, you know, that actually makes sense considering HBO. So, yes, just cook. But then also, Gen 5 season 2 is out. Mm. And oh man, when I tell you, them first few episodes was hard to get through, especially considering the passing of Chance. And just how his character's death is kind of like a major factor throughout the entire first few episodes. And you're just like, ooh.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to get through, especially with that coding. But besides that, hey, it's standard your boy's affair. So you get everything. And I do mean everything. So yep. Take that as you will. Kids, do not watch this show.
No.
It's superheroes, but it's not for kids.
It's like, kids, do not watch this show for the love of all that is holy. And yeah, adults, have fun. Now continuing on in the realm of movies, you know, besides the movies we touched upon, like, right before we went on break, in the break, we had, you know, stuff like Conjuring Last Rites. It's supposedly the last one.
No, it's
keyword being supposedly. I'll believe it if I see it. There should be like 1.5 million spinoffs of that. We also have
terrifying.
right. You know, you had Naked Gun, which I saw.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That was hilarious. Like, I finally gotten a chance to go and look at that. Another movie that came out that I feel like somebody has some thoughts on. Him.
Mm. Yeah. Huh. I have a lot of thoughts.
I know that did not get good reviews. Oh, sorry. Meech, can I jump in? I'm going to interrupt you real quick because I forgot this. K-pop Demon Hunters.
I'll get into that last.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
Ellen Golden.
Yes.
Let's get the Han Moon out the way now. let's get out the way. Come on. Did you also see that the K-pop group 100, they went platinum?
No, not surprised. They went platinum
with the soundtrack.
That soundtrack, yo, I think I played How It's Done. I listened to that like every morning.
Same. Oh, well, not every morning, but but hey, if I need a little that, it's either that or Takedown. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's Golden or This Is What It Sounds Like.
Yes. Oh my gosh, beautiful. Oh, Your Idol. Mm-hmm. The Saja Boys. I feel like the underlying message is that K-pop girl groups are good and righteous, and K-pop boy groups are evil and just want to suck our souls with.
So BTS is evil?
Yeah. The things that they do to their fans, and even what's the one with Felix?
Oh, don't ask me.
listen. My bag is K-pop.
Stray Kids. Oh my gosh! Like, the way that these girls go feral. Actually, I don't even think it's just the girls; they're feral. So, like, yeah, just
kidnapped.
Yeah. So, it makes sense. I think that's like real life accurate.
Nice meet you.
Yep. Also, just letting y'all know, the Chainsaw Man movie has released in Japan. Keyword in Japan. It ain't come out here yet.
2 weeks, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Really? 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
The 24th.
Oh, okay.
So, hey, I will be there to watch greatness. And also a certain first lady is just now getting into Chainsaw Man, and I just have to say good luck, and I pray for her.
Yeah.
Especially when it gets to that scene.
Oh boy.
The dinner.
God. Oh, that's just, she might drop it right then.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Bro.
Nope. It's seared into my memory now.
Oh,
I can't.
God. Yeah. Oh. That was, she might never want to watch anime after that.
Nah, she's still into anime, but,
really?
Yeah. She's watching Apothecary Diaries right now.
Oh, okay. So, question. I feel like Chainsaw Man is anime, like, extreme mode. Like, that's for anime,
those who are deep locked in.
Yes. Because it's weird in many different... Do you feel like she's at that level?
Ooh.
That's the question, but I don't know if she is. But she's the one who decided to watch it all on her own. I did not even put any input. I never mentioned Chainsaw Man once.
I'm gonna
go and watch it. I'm like, you what?
Gotcha.
The only things I put her on were Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's it, because she decided to do Attack on Titan on her own, which I don't know how in the world she did that. And yeah, she had Apothecary Diaries on her own. She's Fruit Baskets. She's with all the romance.
JJK.
Yeah, she JJK'd on her own.
Okay. So I know it sounds like she really likes the disturbing stuff. Like, because that's the ones that she keeps fighting on her own besides the romance ones.
I mean, hey.
She's well-rounded.
Exactly. And plus, she got access to my Crunchyroll, so...
It's over.
It's over for both of us. And also, I'm also putting her on Studio Ghibli right now.
Oh, man.
Good choice.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Just actually last night, time of this recording, we just finished watching Howl's at Moving Castle.
Oh, that's my favorite movie.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, any other movies, TV shows, sister?
Just your standard regular affair.
All right. Just for my overall favorite ones that occurred this year, I'll start with TV. Alien Earth was definitely an interesting take on the alien genre. Gen V, like you mentioned, Severance Season 2. So that's the reason I'm growing my mustache right now, because I'm trying to be like Mr. Milchick. Emmy award-winning Mr. Milchick. My Hero, like you mentioned, To Be a Hero X is something that I'm trying to finish up, but that's been a really good Down to Dawn, and then Sakamoto Days, both standout hits. But with movies, which is kind of going to lead into my random musings overall for the overall year, I have kind of like a top six or seven, but my top five is not in any order, but Sinners, Demon Slayer, Infinity Castle, Weapons, the F1 movie, and The Long Walk. And you both mentioned K-pop Demon Hunters. So I think those are like the movies that kind of stood out and surprised people a lot. And then also One Battle After Another, but that's something that just like recently dropped. So anything else like with gaming or comics that y'all have been interested in before we jump into the random musings?
Here we go. All right. Silent Hill F. Absolutely been cooking. It has been cooking. I'm not even gonna lie to you. I had zero hopes for the game, and then I touched it, and I'm like, okay, I'm a believer. I'm a shut up now. I'm sorry. sorry. I'm gonna let y'all.
Did
cook.
They? Cause I know what's the Kojima.
Hideo Kojima.
Yeah. Did he? Cause I remember there is a big controversy where there is supposed to be one with that guy from The Walking Dead, and he got abandoned. So did he come back for that project or no?
No, I mean, he did Death Stranding too, right? Is there?
Yeah, he did Death Stranding too, but that's like separate, not only just from the Silent Hill property, but also separate from Sony.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's gonna do a Silent Hill project?
Nope. Oh, he was gonna do one.
Okay.
And yeah, that didn't happen. Mm. But yes, continuing on this gravy train of just pure, unadulterated, straight, heinous activity. The PlayStation Plus decided to put Alan Wake 2 for free. And I just started playing that. I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to see the hype. I'm glad I didn't buy it when I did, because paying $60 is actually kind of egregious nowadays. Also, the state of gaming and the price gouging is kind of egregious nowadays.
Oh, absolutely.
Wait till GTA 6 and that's a $100 game.
Boy!
Is it only going to be $100, or have they said that?
Well, it'll probably be like a base of $69.79, and then they're going to have like deluxe versions of like Vanity Gear like that, and then that's going to be what pushes it to $100.
Yeah, bro. I'll let you finish and then we can talk about Nintendo.
Oh, yes.
How evil they are. Oh, man.
As you know, Ghost of Yotei didn't dropped. It was amazing. Hey, Doom the Dark Ages was one of them ones. I just turned my brain off and let myself say, let them all die. That's all I needed. Hey, Madden dropped. And I was already on that like a stereotypical black man would. I'm doing all the stereotypes. I don't care. Also, Dragon Ball Sparking Zero then dropped the Daima DLC, and then of course, Xenoverse 2, the game that does not die, also got Daima DLC. But surprisingly enough, at the time of this recording, like 13 minutes ago, they released a trailer for Dragon Ball FighterZ to get the Daima DLC.
Wow.
So I'm here like, okay, Dragon Ball, I see y'all. Now, I'm gonna need a Super Season 2, sir. So I'm gonna need something else. I need some animated projects, not just gaming. Thank you. Also, Dying Light the Beast is one of them ones. That's all I'm gonna say about that, because it's just such a great game. You know, parkour, zombies, full exploration on your own time. It's good stuff. All right. I'm gonna stop. Go ahead.
All right,
take it over.
Yeah. So. Full disclosure, I have not gotten to play a video game in a long time, but when I tell you, I was so excited for the Switch 2 release, and then it came out and I saw all the foolishness that Nintendo is doing. I'm just like, no. I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast, but I suck at video games, and so I always have to play cozy games. And Nintendo was great for that. But the fact that they're just like, oh yeah, when we come out with new gen consoles, you won't be able to play the old games. Actually, you have to buy them all over again to play them. They are like, what? It's like $100. I think Nintendo was like, oh, it's $100 a game. Like, or some foolishness like that. I was like, no. And then also for a console that took like the Switch 2, I think, didn't Xbox and Xbox and PlayStation have like two consoles, like two upgrades in the generations?
I think so.
Yeah, by the time the Switch 2 came, like, and now the Switch 2, I feel like it's not even as powerful as like the Steam Deck or any of the kind of like other handheld gaming consoles that are out. And so I'm just like, and it's like $500. And I'm just like, why would I pay money on that? And I still can't play the games I want to play. I'm very mad at Nintendo and how, what is it, litigious? They are, is that, I hope that's a word. They are for everything.
Close enough, yes.
Yeah, they try to patent stuff. Like, I just learned about, like, companies patenting game mechanics and how it's basically, like, ruined the state of gaming. And while I'm not the big, I don't play video games, I am a fan. I love playthroughs. Like, I love Little Nightmares. That gaming franchise. And so learning that we could have had games that have so many more mechanics and they don't, because these companies patent them and then hide them away forever, is dumb. Like, give you one. I think Nintendo patented summoning characters.
Summoning creatures.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, imagine what that's going to do to the gaming and industry and what's going to come out. Like, it makes me angry. And yeah.
You can thank Power World for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there was one that, there's one, like, gaming mechanics that actually still has me heated to this day that's not anything else, which was the Nemesis mechanic.
Yeah.
Middle Earth.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Bro, this could literally be in everything and it would be lit, but yeah. Not because it's patented. Now it's just confined to just the Middle Earth games. I'm like, bro.
And the fact that Warner Brothers isn't even doing anything with it. Like, it'd be different if they were coming out with games with that. And so they just patented it and was like, we're never going to come out with another game. We want no one else to use this mechanic. Like,
imagine the Nemesis mechanic in the new Wolverine game.
Oh, man. Or people are talking about, like, Red Dead Redemption. Like, if they included it in there. And so I'm just like, this is, I'm not going to, well, you said legal spiegel. So I'm just like, capitalism is ruining the world. And I'll just leave it at that.
All right. So K-pop fans are coming after us and Nintendo are coming after us. So We're only halfway through. Well, not even halfway through the episode.
Hey, my fans are coming after y'all.
Y'all ain't saying nothing.
You said we're for hood rat activities, so I'm doing hood rat stuff with my friends.
All right.
So. All right, little Milton.
All right, just for my quick games of the year, I got Ghost of Yotei and Death Stranding 2 are the ones that I just finished Death Stranding 2 like 2 weeks ago, and then I'm on Ghost of Yotei like I was talking about, which is, it's incredible. The fight mechanics are even better than Tsushima, so I'm definitely excited about that. And then with comics, I have not read comics in forever, but Absolute Batman is something that's getting me back into it.
Absolutely cooking.
So before we start getting into all that stuff, we can jump into the random musings. So this is just basically our observations on the changing landscape of nerddom, kind of what we've seen, either trends over the year, what's going forward, or just this year. So I have two. Meech, I know you said you had several, but you're just going to wait to see. Paulina, did you have any? Or
yeah, hold up. Okay. Sorry, y'all. I for my own reason, not because I am under any legal obligation to say so, I would like to extend a sincerest apology to Nintendo. The words that I said, I was very foolish, and I misspoke, and Nintendo is absolutely amazing. It is the best company. I don't know why anyone would say anything that could ever go against Nintendo. And I am very sorry. And I'm saying this not under duress. Thank you.
Yeah, they got to your computer the moment you was talking.
No.
All right. So I'll just start with my first random musing, as I said. So hopefully we don't get kidnapped, but maybe we will after this one. So with that, I think something that I've talked about a lot and said since the first podcast is follow the money. And something that I find really interesting is the changing landscape of streaming and how it continues to evolve. But at the same time, I think it's slightly untenable. And why I say that is because there's a lot of movement happening like behind the scenes with it. A lot of companies merging and unmerging, then also buying up. So just to quickly, not going into the prices and stuff like that, because that's too much. But I would like to do like a streaming episode one time. Is Netflix is obviously still king. Once they figured out the live streaming issue, they're up and rolling. So them having, you know, football on Christmas, live streaming with like the last boxing event was like the biggest one ever. Then also having WWE weekly, they somehow survived the password sharing, which is the reason that I think that streaming as a whole is about to break for that very reason. So just going even deeper with that, I told you before, Meech, that Disney Plus was not something you should have unless you're a Marvel fan or if you have kids. And Disney Plus heard that and was like, we're going to take Hulu and put it into one product.
Oh, my gosh.
Hulu gone.
Hulu being the superior of the two streaming things. So now that that's going to get annexed, it's already in the process of happening by 20. At some point in 2026, Hulu's just going to be gone completely.
No, I thought it was like the end of 2025.
They're definitely working on it, but I think definitely by 2026, like Hulu itself will be gone as an app, which is interesting because they just introduced password sharing into Hulu. But Disney Plus didn't have that situation. So I think they're probably going to try to flip that and then also like up it. But the thing is, since Disney Plus is owned by Disney, they also have the ESPN app, which is owned by Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. Well, Disney, because Disney is owned by, well, ESPN is owned by Disney. That's interesting because here's the thing. I have YouTube TV, so there's no point of me having an ESPN app. So here's what they did, because they lost UFC to Paramount Plus, which I will get to Paramount Plus. So they lost UFC, and then they ended up getting WWE, and it's like, oh, you have to pay $30 per pay-per-view for it. When WWE used to be on Peacock, and it just came with a subscription, so you could watch the premium live events, that's what they call it, but the pay-per-views. I think there's going to be an issue with that because there's only so many subscribers that actually work with the ESPN app for it to happen. So a lot of people are just going to be like, "Yo, I was not paying anything for this. I'm not about to pay $30 each month for this." So then going in there, oh, but in terms of mergers, Fox and ESPN are discussing a unified sports streaming service, which would make the ESPN app redundant. And all these different apps and streaming services have their own individual like slices of different pies. So with that, Amazon Prime has football on it, with it. And then also Peacock and something else. Peacock and I think it's one other, I think it's Amazon too, are both into basketball now since TNT lost it, which was owned by, which is like HBO Max situation. And HBO Max, Warner Brothers Discovery just went through a merger. They're potentially going to go through another merger with, I believe, I think it was Paramount Plus that was trying to buy them. So it's just a lot going on, and I don't really think it's tenable. We're about to see a lot more mergers or a situation where this breaks. So I think that's definitely been interesting.
It's actually insane how, like, basically, there's so many streaming apps that if you tried to have all of them, you might as well just have cable. And they raise their price every year without any explanation. I think that's what gets me the most. Like, they're
Disney
just
Plus.
like, why is Netflix like $30 now? Like, it's not like they're, and also the fact that it's one thing if they were adding a bunch of new features that were done very well or new content. Why has it taken like 5 years for Stranger Things to come out? The last season of Stranger Things. Like, that's dumb. Like, you want us to believe that these are high schoolers? Bro, what's her name? Whoever plays Eleven
Millie
is
Bobby Brown.
Millie,
Millie
Millie
Bobby
Bobby
Brown.
Brown, married. Man, I think they adopted a kid. Like the little black boy got a full beard, like with his
His little
baby face.
sister just
Wild.
graduated high school.
Bro. And they want us to like, so what are they gonna do? How are they going to explain that? It's dumb. So anyway, like I really don't appreciate that and how like specifically with Warner Brothers, their CEO hates animation. And so he's been getting rid of like taking off like a lot of the animated content from Cartoon Network. So they removed Courage the Cowardly Dog recently from HBO Max. And as someone who deeply loves animation and has a very special place in my heart for Cartoon Network, like hearing about that stuff is just annoying because these CEOs don't care about the medium. They don't care about the fans that love the medium. And so as these mergers and acquisitions and are happening, we're losing content and it's not like it's backed up anywhere. And so if we don't have access to it, it just disappears into the ether.
Unless you go and scour the
Put your pirate
eBay
hat on.
sphere for, well, besides pirates, but or just scour the eBay fields. We're trying to find the DVDs, and you know that's gonna be pricey.
And I don't want to be bombarded with girls that want to connect in my area every time I try to watch something that like I love. Y'all know what it is.
The fact that it took you a while for that to hit, Demetrius.
No, because it was just like, huh, I wonder if like, taking this route just takes a long time and the bandwidth, and then it was like dot. That's so funny. But yeah, Meech, your thoughts on this? Because I
So
just had like a
yeah,
little
I
bit more.
absolutely agree with everything you all have been saying. I think like this is actually becoming quite an issue. I also like main thing for me is like, okay, y'all just gonna just price gouge out the Yahoo and not give us anything new. As a matter of fact, y'all just gonna The only thing y'all are adding are more ads per like episode or movie you're watching, which will take you straight out the movie. It got to a point where for me, like normally when I subscribe to these programs, I was like, all right, ad free, ad free, ad free, ad free. I can afford it. Like I'm fine. Now it's gotten to the point where it's like y'all have hiked the price up so much that now I'm gonna like, especially with the life changes I'm about to go through, and the money that's been leaving my pocket, is like, ooh, I can't even afford to have no ads anymore. So I have to have ads if I want to keep it, to which I'm strongly about to get into my kaizoku bag. If you know it in Japanese, you know. About to get in my kaizoku bag and start doing my thing with my fire stick.
To your point, Mish, the ads were originally, they didn't even exist. So like you didn't even have to
Yes.
tier it. And then they were like, hey, let's not leave this money on the table. So let's keep hiking it up where it's like, okay, because some of them are like no ads whatsoever for basic stuff. Then some is like, okay, if you're watching a live stream or something, there's gonna be some ads. And then okay, there's another tier where the live sports come in, where it's like, okay, that's another price just to have that on top of your base subscription. And then I didn't even know the thing with the animation with the CEO for HBO Max, Paulina, but
Yeah.
that's a good point because I watched the first season of Jujutsu Kaisen on HBO Max. And then I noticed, because they used to have a lot more anime on there, I noticed it started going, and then to the point where it was only Ghibli movies that were on there for a while.
When Sony bought Crunchyroll, that's why that disappeared, because Sony had, or not, but Crunchyroll had a partnership with HBO, with Warner Brothers. And Sony bought them, so they're just like, nah, you gotta cut that out right now.
Yeah, interesting. So I think that some of in the next 5 years, some of them are gonna go. I think some will be safe. Like I think Netflix obviously is gonna be safe. Disney Plus might go through another reinvention of more annexing other streaming services. But I think Amazon Prime will be fine because it's an add-on to your already Prime thing. So most of us have Prime for other reasons, and it's just you just have the video for it. The thing with Apple TV or Apple Plus is that it puts out Emmy award-winning shows. It just doesn't put out enough brain damage content to like justify itself as a service, in my opinion, to the point where they have to bring Ted Lasso season 4 back. Even though I had a perfect ending with season three.
It's also kind of interesting that like there's really not much promotion for Apple TV,
No.
and it even is to the point where like I was actually discussing this with the First Lady that like when it comes to, like, hey, our phone subscriptions, right? It turns out that our phone subscriptions come with Apple TV.
What service do you have?
T-Mobile.
No,
It comes with it.
are you
Yeah, we I'm
serious?
dead serious. And we just never knew. It was never advertised. It was never like sent out via an email, nothing. It's like, oh hey,
No.
like if you looked it up, that's the only way you gonna find out that, oh yeah, it comes with Apple TV. And you're like, bruh.
Yeah. All right, so you two next, who wants to take it?
I can go.
All right.
Because you brought up Disney, and so my musing is that anime has surpassed Disney in terms of storytelling, animation, and overall cultural relevance. So, for the sake of this conversation, and the reason I say this is because Disney at its base is an animation company, and the reason why they've been able to continue to quote unquote expand their reach is they keep acquiring different IP. So they acquired Marvel, they acquired
Star
Star
Wars.
Wars, they acquired ESPN, they keep acquiring things to cover up the fact that they have no more original ideas. And they're not willing to put in the effort or trust their creatives to make these ideas. So, do you guys know that Disney Pixar came out with a movie this year?
Is it the Eli one?
Emilio.
The heck is that?
Exactly. They don't like Disney, like ads and stuff for their movies used to be everywhere. They advertised Lilo and Stitch.
Best type of advertising.
Nothing. And so it bombed at the box office. And then they
Blame the
say
creator,
that, you know,
right?
and they forced the showrunner, not the showrunner, but the producer and things, the writer, the main writer, to take out a bunch of their original ideas that were the heart of the story because they are so caught up in like corporate greed or whatever that they're, you know, these studios meddle, that the movie is soulless. And that has been a consistent thing. Like, I know y'all remember when Wish came out
No.
and people, oh, see
No,
again.
I remember the movie, but it was just like, didn't even happen, is kind of the thing.
I remember the
Yeah.
controversy behind the movie.
Oh yeah, because it looked like it was animated and written by Wish. And so that like that's the thing. Like you have them coming out with this IP from Marvel, from Star Wars and things that gets pretty good traction. But even then, like I feel like a lot of their Marvel TV shows have kind of fallen off. Like I'm not in it like y'all are, but I like they didn't inspire me to watch them. And so now compare that to anime. Now we all know anime has its tropes. Like there's so many, most shonen can trace back a lot of their core mechanics and themes from like Dragon Ball and like Dragon Ball, the original big three basically. And like Yu Yu Hakusho, like, and that's one thing. However, one thing that anime has done very well consistently is that it comes out with new material. Like, yes, no one wants to see I was reborn in another world in as a vending machine. Like, that's weird. Like that there's some isekai is like on another thing. However, even in that very crowded genre, you come out with amazing gems. Like I mentioned, Zenshu, you come out with ReZero, and I'm just going to use those two examples. I can't think of any. And so that's just like how big anime, like one genre, but you think of how mainstream Attack on Titan is right now. Attack on Titan has, I feel like, taking over as one of the best stories of all time. And no one has said that about Disney in a while. Oh, not in pure Disney content. So that's one thing. And then on top of that, anime is the symbol of revolutions. So there is, I can't remember exactly, but I know it's someplace in like Asia, that region, where they are hoisting the Straw Hat flag as a symbol of their resistance. Now, if that does not tell you the cultural relevance of anime, like that goes beyond just what becomes and permeates pop culture. That is affecting people's lives. These anime characters inspire people to better themselves, to try new things, like when volleyball anime
Haiku.
Haikyuu came out, volleyball spiked in Japan, like Blue Lock. That got us
Block had
all wanting to play soccer.
who is
All
going
of us got
crazy
to
to play soccer
yeah,
that year.
yeah, yeah. And like you see, like people have the anime characters that they most want to be like Tanjiro. Like Tanjiro has shown kids, adults, that you can be kind and still strong. And there hasn't been a Disney character that has had that depth and a desire for people to be really emulate. They have values that they want to emulate in a very long time. So I think that Disney, while their acquisitions keep them relevant, their content does not.
Reason.
Very
Yeah, I like that. Definitely, I think it's also because we rely, like with anime, there's so many studios, but with like we kind of rely a lot on Disney to kind of like lead the way in terms of animation. So
I
with that,
disagree.
you think so?
Oh, yeah. No. I think that MAPPA, Ufotable, WIT Studio, they've got Disney animation beat.
No, I'm saying like in America.
I don't think so. Very honestly, I think that maybe 5 years ago, that might have been true, but I don't think that Disney is leading animation, because if that were the case, they wouldn't be trying to make live action versions of all of their best IP.
No, I guess I'm saying like what other animation studios in America are kind of
I
like putting
see,
up
I
stuff.
see,
That's
I
kind of
see.
what I mean. So it's like, oh, Disney do better. And then it's like nobody else is like doing anything in a sense.
DreamWorks.
That's reasonable. Yes.
Yeah.
Meet.
All right. So in regards to that argument, I do definitely agree because like there's been a lot of Disney projects where you just like I did not know this stuff came out, or like I had zero interest in stuff coming out. And when it comes to stuff like, and of course, like a lot of stuff there are pumping out nowadays are just sequels or straight up reboots, which I think is just another topic in of itself, is just the creative drought that that Hollywood is kind of going under right now.
Y'all both are touching on my second one. I
But
love it. I love it.
yeah, it's just like, oh yeah, let's go ahead and okay, let's what's a project people find very beloved? Okay, let's go ahead and beat this horse until it is 6 feet under.
Oh,
So
yeah.
like did Freaky Friday need a sequel?
No.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Did Happy Gilmore 2 need a sequel?
I don't even know what that is.
No.
It's the Adam Sandler golf movie. No, it did
Oh,
not. Let me
God.
tell you, it did not need a sequel.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it spent so much time telling you to go watch the first Happy Gilmore.
Wow.
Pretty much. Pretty much. And but yeah, it's like, oh hey, did honestly, I'm still waiting on the new Friday 13th movie. I'm not even gonna lie to you. But I know that's probably not happening due to the suit. But yeah, it's just like different things are like, oh hey, Zootopia is getting a sequel. To which I'm like, that's coming out at the end of this year, which I'm like,
I like the first.
it's like I like the first one. I don't think it needed one. That's the thing. It's
No.
like a lot of these movies that are getting sequels are stuff that's like already been cut and dry that have like notable like endpoints. Tron Ares. I have no idea why that's even a thing. But it is.
Also, Jared Leto is like a head character. We know it's not going to be good.
Grammy, no, Grammy, Oscar award winner, Jared.
For that one movie. But what about Morpheus, guys? The Joker. Come on now.
I don't know what you want me to say. I have no defense.
There is none. There is none when you're talking about the movie,
Yeah.
that I will never speak the name of, for obvious reasons. But yeah, in any case, like yeah, I do agree. Like, hey, that's a it's a whole thing, and now they're trying to like bank on like properties that we pretty much live action properties that we love because animated side of Disney is kind of hit or miss, especially in terms of like Marvel right now.
Yeah.
Marvel Zombies, disappointing. Not even gonna lie.
Oh no.
Not even gonna lie. It's kind of disappointing for your boy. What if? Supremely disappointing. by season three. Season one was fine. Season two was starting to get there, and then three decided to take a nosedive. Eyes of Wakanda, I have not watched yet. I don't know if I will, considering the state of things right now. But now they're banking on, hey, everybody loves Grogu. Let's give Mandalorian a movie. Which I'm like, bruh, you could have just gave him another season. But actually, that's gonna lead into my random musing,
Go for
which
it.
is okay. So I kind of alluded to it with the Mandalorian thing, but so have you all noticed, like, with a lot of animes that like they decide to take an arc and just make it into a whole movie?
Yes.
Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer, Attack on Titan,
Yeah.
Chainsaw Man,
Yeah.
Jujutsu Kaisen. They decided.
I almost don't want to give Attack on Titan too much credit. I just think they didn't know what they were doing and kind of just were like, oh, let's make it a big thing.
They were the first offender.
I loosely call the what they actually did a movie and then they made it into a movie.
No, I feel like because MAPPA took it over from Wit Studio, they were just like, how can we make the most money out of this since we haven't had this IP for the majority of its existence?
Yes, but back to your
See,
point, Meech. Sorry.
here's the okay, so here's the thing. It's like, okay, they create like movies based on the arcs in the manga, but then it's like, okay, when you do that, you have to condense slash constrain it to like a certain time length, which you really don't have to do with an animated series. And with that, you have to pay money to go see it if you're trying not to get spoiled, whereas you're just paying for the base series. Now you gotta pay base series plus movie. And oftentimes when it comes to these anime, it's one of two things. Either they will directly skip over like that arc to be like, hey, if you wanna see like what happened between X and this, you have to go watch the movie. To which if somebody who like doesn't go to the movies to watch, they'll feel left out and confused as to like what in the world happened in this gap. Or two, they would do the redundant thing and straight up make the movie into an arc, to an actual arc in the just in the first place. I'm looking at you, Demon Slayer Mugen Train.
That was wild.
To which I'm just like, so if you're just gonna turn the arc into a movie, why would you turn that movie into an arc again? You should just cut the middleman out and saved us a bunch of time and money. But then again, I think like, hey, people are getting a little too money crazy these days. But I want to hear like your guys' thoughts. Like, do you all believe that should anime moving forward, if they have like a pretty highly anticipated arc, should it be condensed into movie form, or should it just stick with the TV format and let it live?
That's hard. Because I was thinking about it last night, how anime start kind of with Attack on Titan started splitting stuff into like multiple cores, and then you can kind of see that with live action, looking at Stranger Things, how they're doing that, and then even Wednesday. That's hard to think because I saw the Tanjiro and Tengen versus Giyu like at home because that was like a home arc. And I was jumping out of my chair at that final fight scene. And then I believe we watched it all together in the theaters, and then it just didn't hit the same. But at the same time, the Infinity Castle, the animation is so beautiful, and the fight scenes were incredible. And it's like an experience. It kind of reminded me of the OG Marvel days. Like I remember texting you, Mace, this is like, I was at the theater, people were dressed up. It was like prime and in-game Infinity War era Marvel. It's hard to say because I know y'all both saw the One Piece Red. I don't think that's a canon arc though.
No.
It's hard to say, but I would prefer most of it to be done in television series unless you're ending it with a movie. Because with Infinity Castle, that could be done this year if they just did it as a season. But now we're not going to see it until 2029. I already got spoiled about one thing about a character, like literally after the movie, like on Threads, and I didn't even like look at it. So I'm about to read it now, which then by the time I see the first movie in well, the second movie in 2027, it's kind of going to lose momentum with it. So if you're ending on a movie, I can do it, but if you're like doing like in the middle, like I don't like how they split it into three movies. I don't think you need to do that.
Yeah, I think that I mostly agree with you. And so, for instance, I don't mind if it's a movie, if it is a very condensed arc. So Mugen Train, like the way that that story played out, it worked great in the movie format. But again, they did not need to make that into the series. They didn't need to make ep that episodic because that was dumb. That was redundant. I don't like movie recaps of a season. And I also don't like when they call something a movie when it's just two episodes put together. And so I don't mind the movie, like when they make stuff a movie, but I also find it very frustrating when the Infinity Castle arc, that I think that's the one that's the most egregious at this point, is that it's going to be 4 years before we get to see that finale. And for a season, like Demetrius was saying, that could have been done by maybe 2028, if they were going to take a year or something to do like all the different cores. But that is just money. Like they know they can make money. Movie animation is better. So, like I said, like me or Demetrius was saying, animation's great. And I don't know enough about the chain this part of the Chainsaw Man story to give any kind of context for whether it that particular arc should be a movie. But I think it can be done well, but the way that they're doing it, and I think it specifically started with the success of Mugen Train, it's just a money grab.
Okay. Well, let's piggyback off that just a little bit. Okay, how about in regards to, like, you mentioned One Piece Red, which is not canon. What about like movies that are based on canon arcs versus movies that are clearly non-canon and just is just like a side story?
I'm fine with that. I
Yeah.
watched the Overlord movie. I can't remember if that's canon or not. The one that just happened. And then I know we also saw what was that movie? It was Reincarnated as a Slime
Yes.
together.
Yep.
Again, don't recall, but I mean it's a good experience. And then like just going to the movies to watch that with your friends, like you would never think it. Like there's like 20 Naruto movies. I don't think any of them, like because of the time it came out, were in the theaters. But
It
and
wasn't.
see, so seeing some of those live, like Naruto the Last in theaters, probably would have went crazy. But again, it depends on how it's done. I
Yeah.
definitely, if it's non-canon, I would definitely want to see it like in a theater just because it's an experience and it's like not something I'm waiting weekly for when it doesn't matter or something like that.
I also like I like non-canon movies when the mechanics make sense in the world. So there was a My Hero movie where Midoriya was like let Bakugo eat his hair so that they could both have All Might's power. And at the end of it, they're just like, oh yeah, it didn't matter because it wasn't like it was some stupid example. It was
Oh, I
like
remember it.
he
I know what you're talking
passed
about.
out
Because
before.
he's like,
Yeah, it was
he
like
was
some
KO'd before he could fully transfer.
yeah, I'm just like, now you know that's dumb. And so I don't like that. But if it makes sense in the mechanics, like I love the One Piece movies because one, they're hilarious and there's always something zany going on,
From overseas.
but the mechanics of the world still make sense. and no one's got some strange random power that like while there's all this stuff that is non-canon going on, the basic mechanics of the world still matter. And I think that's what sets a good non-canon movie apart from a bad non-canon movie.
So I'm gonna jump into with my next and final musing. And both y'all slightly touched on it, but my question is original content back? And the reason I ask that is because of what I had in my top five movies, and I think movies that were mostly talked about. Sinners took the world by storm. That was a cultural phenomenon, just seeing that. And then Weapons was like a horror movie that we were not expecting to happen. Just like absolutely incredible. In terms of horror meets, there is a movie that we have not done justice, Bring Her Back. I have not seen it, but I heard it is incredible.
I haven't
And
heard that one.
it's actually scary. It's the people that made Talk to Me.
Oh yeah, they're sick.
So I actually want to do a review of that because I heard that is like a disturbingly scary movie. So that's something I want to touch on. But then also F1, which is kind of like a throwback movie if you think about it, with what's his name, Brad Pitt, and then also Franklin Saint. The Long Walk, even though it's based on a novel, was like one of my favorite movies of the year. K-Pop Demon Hunters, and then One Battle After Another. All these are like original movies that like have a lot of cultural impact this year. And then the movies that we were looking forward to or expecting, all three Marvel movies that occurred this year. Thunderbolts was incredible, like probably the best superhero movie of the year, honestly, but it didn't like have the weight of it, I guess, because of the characters. Fantastic Four and Superman both enjoyed it. It's just they didn't hit like all the other movies. And then also Demon Slayer Infinity Castle, we touched on anime. I'm not gonna go deep into it. It's not based on like it's already IP. I'm just giving it credit as an original thing because it's new to a lot of people. But just with that, I feel like those are original contents that like were kind of pushing that way. I think people were starting to lean towards, oh, I kind of actually want to see this. Last year, I brought it up. The top 15 movies in the box office were all like sequels, prequels, requels, or like direct lineage of other content. So my only problem with saying that is like both you kind of touched on it is that there's already been rumors of a Sinner sequel. Meet, you told me that Weapons is already having a prequel confirmation for Gladys. Don't need that. Demon Slayer is a trilogy, and the K-pop Demon Hunters is about to have like several spinoffs. Like, if you don't think K-pop Demon Hunters is
Oh,
about to have spinoffs, you've lost your mind. So I just want to, I see original content bring it back, but I think what more than anything, original or IP stuff, do you have an inspired idea and vision that you're trying to carry out that's new to like people to rock with?
I think so. I'll have a couple caveats because I don't count the Sinners. I would not count the Sinner sequel because Ryan Coogler has already said that he's not going to participate. And I don't think that a studio pushing a project can really, like, we can call it a true sequel because the original creator doesn't want anything to do with it. So that's the only thing that I would say. But I think one of the big issues as to why we're seeing this, I like what Meech said, this drought in creativity, is that these studios and these executives don't care about storytelling. They only care about profit. And so they're taking things that are formulaic that they know is going to work. And they're like, oh, we'll just do that a bunch of times and people won't notice. And they treat us like we're stupid and like we're sheep. And so they keep putting out the same movie with the same, like the same characters, the same types of characters with no changes or anything that makes the story unique. Because Sinners, there's nothing new about a vampire movie, like, or racism. But the way that they put that together and put the story and put in cultural elements that you would not think go together was great. And so when these studios are and these executives do not allow the people that are in charge of coming up with ideas to really express themselves, that's the issue. And to go along with that, like I said, racism is not new. So you have the same type of person in the room making these decisions and creating these ideas. But with K-pop Demon Hunters, Sinners, what was another really
F1.
F1, like these cultural, these movies that have very cultural aspects to them from people that are obviously not they're minorities or people of color. They do so well. And I think Hollywood has this sense, and they've been pushing this idea that if the story doesn't resonate, and I know, don't, hey, legal spiegel, if it doesn't resonate with the like with white people, with their demographic, then it won't resonate with anybody. And so they whitewash these stories, they whitewash the people that are making these decisions, and you end up with movies that are continually bland, like, or concepts that had the potential to be great that turned out bland. Like, what was the name of the, it was like Black Hogwarts.
Oh, the magical,
Society.
magical Negroes.
Yes, could have been great, but all the black people were using their magical powers to make sure white people didn't get upset. Like, everybody been talking about Black Hogwarts forever, and that's what they did with that idea. It makes you sad. So I don't think I don't think that original can I say that original IP is back? I don't think so. I can say that it's made a bit of a comeback, but unless these executives change their like we get some mix up at the people in the top, I think we're constantly going to be seeing these issues until they collapse. Like until these studios collapse in on themselves because they've like they keep biting back at it one another, we won't get originality like we used to.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we pretty much, I pretty much already said it before, and Paulina basically stated it all, so I'm not gonna repeat any of that, but I actually have up here the box office of the highest grossing movies, has the top 10 highest grossing movies. All right, let's go through them, and I'll tell you, like, oh yeah, is this original IP or is this something else? All right, number 10, Thunderbolts, part of MCU, boom. Number 9, Mission Impossible.
Forgot that came out.
Right. Next up, Captain America. Then number 7, How to Train Your Dragon, the live action remake. Number 6, Fantastic Four. At number 5 is Sinners. Then number 4, Jurassic World, another IP.
Really? Are you
That's
serious?
surprising.
278 mil for Sinners. 339 for Jurassic World.
Oh, people love dinosaurs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number 3, Superman IP. Number 2, Lilo and Stitch. Live action.
Lilo and
That makes
Stitch
sense,
beat
kids.
Sinners.
Yep. And then at number 1, Minecraft.
Oh, I'm surprised. Isn't Demon Slayer about, I guess that's the US box office, because Demon Slayer is about to make $1 billion.
Yeah, this is the US
That's
box
a good point.
office. That's a
Also, to be fair, and I think that one thing that probably isn't captured in that is the budget that these movies had. So, based on the budget, their revenue is probably going to be different.
150. Let's see.
That's fair. I was for this particular thing, I wasn't mentioning box office because obviously, but that's a good point, Mitch. It's like it's
That
still just
is,
IP stuff.
yeah.
That's
it's like,
always going to dominate the
yeah,
box office. All right, so
unfortunately.
what other do y'all have?
I actually want to kind of have one that is, it's kind of going to take like what your second point is, but kind of flip it on its head a little bit. All right, so you know, like, hey, in the black community, we all have been like clamoring, we all have been hitching for a certain show or series to come back. A certain show that has been part of the black community's childhood for since its release.
Yes, I think.
And with that, hey, I just want to pose it to you all. Do you think with the state of the world right now, and like with all the things that have happened in the past, should the Boondocks, should Aaron McGruder bring the Boondocks back as the people start clamoring? Or should it even come back, considering the passing of John Witherspoon?
I was going to mention that. Well, we saw what happened with the last season that came out, and I can't remember why the quality was that bad. There
Aaron
was like a
McGregor
reason.
was not part of that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
the actual creator wasn't part of it.
So he would have to come back, and the problem is that, like you mentioned, now you don't have Gramps. So do you replace that? Which then become like in terms of voice actor, or do you like have the character gone, which then just makes it sad, kind of like what we were talking about Gen V. So I would like it to come back just because it's funny, but in that case, just if he created something else, that's kind of my point of just create something else, but Boondock sells. So
That's fair.
I don't know. Speaking of the climate, I'm not gonna go too off. Meech, did you hear about this Assassin's Creed game that got canceled?
Wait, what was it?
Do you oh, you want me to talk about it? All
Go,
right.
go, go.
All right, so essentially they had a new Assassin's Creed game that was in development, right? Dang, the fact that it's zooming in on Ichigo is kind of crazy, right? But essentially the premise was that it was gonna take place during the Civil War, and you were gonna play as a black slave who's
Oh,
going
a
around.
former slave.
Oh yeah, sorry. A former slave who would be going around assassinating folks left and right, or pretty much people in the South.
KKK. Dude,
KKK, Confederacy.
I would have spent $200 on that.
Bro, I
Are
would
you
have.
serious?
You would have seen like my hours in that game go from 0 to 1,000. Don't even ask how I would do it. I would take off work for a week just to play that game.
I have the opposite take, because that blew. I was like, yo, no, you did not think like I so I'm just like, that feels like a white person came up with that idea. They're just like,
Well, the third game, Assassin's Creed 3, you play as an indigenous person, and it takes place during like the Boston Revolution, not the Boston Revolution, American Revolution kind of era.
Yeah, and then the
That
most
game is
recent game
fun.
you played as
Okay,
Gasuke.
okay.
And that's
Okay,
the
yeah,
reason
Yasuke,
that got
yeah. Okay. So maybe I don't know enough about the Assassin's Creed like world or universe, but I'm just like, yo, that sounds crazy. You're Harriet Tubman, Nick, taking people out. Like, that's wild.
not Harriet Tubman,
Yeah,
but yeah,
I
like it.
mean,
Yeah, but it was supposed to be. Yeah, but here's the reason why they canceled it was due to how Yasuke was portrayed in the last Assassin's Creed game.
what was wrong with Yasuke? I thought that people were that played it really liked it.
Yeah, the main criticism behind that was that Elon Musk called Yasuke too woke for an Assassin's Creed game, and claimed, and I'm pulling up the quote now, DEI kills art.
Wow. I loathe Elon Musk. I loathe him.
All because of the fact that you're doing an accurate depiction of Yasuke, the first black samurai.
Of and that, so Someone who has had plastic surgery and still looks like that. Someone who like has to pay people to tell him that he's cool and fun. Like, and someone who is so chronically wrong on so many things should have nothing to say. Like, bro, you built bad, you look funny, and for as smart as you think you are, you're really dumb. And you are saying that DEI like ruins art, like someone who talked about buying Twitter and has ruined Twitter. Like, who even calls it X? Like, for real, for real. Like, he hasn't had an original bone in his body. He bought Tesla. He didn't make Tesla. He bought Tesla. So let's get that straight.
So you
Like,
don't feel like driving the Porygon around?
oh yeah, the Polygon car. Oh my gosh. That's the only car he designed. And look at it.
It
It's
looks like a
falling apart.
Pokemon. You mean the
Yeah, it's
garbage
not
truck?
even, it's not even, it doesn't even look like that. It looks like a kid drawing.
What a
So
kid thinks a car looks like?
yeah, he
So
wanted
six
his
people are going to kidnap us?
He wanted his parents to pay attention to him. So he was like, "Mommy, Daddy, look what I drew." So yeah.
So Boondocks, your name. Yeah, we got completely off topic, but that's okay.
To be fair, Boondocks would have a field day with Elon Musk.
Boondocks would have a field day in general.
The Kendrick Lamar Drake beef. Oh, I know that episode would have went so hard.
And also, like, I saw, and the part of the reason, like, I brought this topic up is because I saw a TikTok where this person did like their own animation for the Boondocks talking about the Charlie Kirk situation.
Oh, Lord.
And it was because it was just Huey and Jasmine talking about it with Tom in the background. And it was just like, dang. Yep, this actually kind of feels like what Boondocks would have said in, or at least what Huey would have said in it in this
Oh yeah.
situation.
I think like if they if like and it's not possible if they bring it back in its original form, oh, it would have been hilarious. Would have been hilarious. And it would be great. It's like when people say we need Wendy Williams back
No, we
because
don't.
No, her commentary on some of the stuff that's been going on would be hilarious. Like her commentary on the Nicki Cardi beef. Oh man, when would have went triple platinum, like the P. Diddy stuff. Oh, triple platinum. And for as much of how problematic she is, her she knew how to spill the tea. So I think that we. And I like what Demetrius said. We need a new show. Like we need something new that can capture this moment that we're in because it is like this is cartoonery.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so do you have your one final musing, Paula?
My last musing is that and this is a fun one. So TikTok editors should be in charge of making like TikTok editors have absolutely changed the game of animation, and they are the main reason why so many anime have become popular, reached the level of popularity. Did you guys are on TikTok, right?
Yep.
What have you seen the Creed edit?
Oh yeah. Oh,
Bro,
oh,
bro, bro.
I'm still
The
mad about that.
yeah, the it was so good that people were literally paying the creator. Like, there's a function where you can pay people, the creator in the comments. He was making bank.
Wow.
Yeah,
They took it away from us.
it was so good they had to mute the sound. So there's the Michael Jackson, Eyes Like Mine, edit. They had Muzan. Oh my
Muzan,
God.
him
I've
changing
seen,
into
yeah.
Muzan, it
I've
went
seen that,
crazy.
Oh man, these TikTok, and I recently saw one where a guy and it's been going on for the past several years, like the like that edits with anime, F the big three is just make me big me, and it had all the different big three. Oh man, dope. And even recently I saw, and I think this is what has blown my mind, is that this dude made an edit, and he had it first as demon. You think it's a Demon Slayer edit, but it comes up and it turns out it's in the phone of one of the girls that got killed by Sukuna. And so it pops up in the phone, and Sukuna crushes the phone and is like,
JJK.
get this. And it becomes a JJK edit. Oh, I was,
Wow.
oh, it's
Dang.
dope. And I feel like they need to be hired. They need to be compensated for the level of art they're giving us, because it is next level.
What's next level right now is Sora.ai.
What's that?
The new AI software that apparently came out and started, and people are actually like doing animated videos just based on prompts. Like
What?
you can have like Jesus meeting Goku, and it'd be like an actual animated, like anime style AI video. I'm like, bro, if MAPPA gets a hold of this, kiss their employees goodbye.
Oh yeah.
Like the
Peace to their
anime be,
families.
it's like the AI generated like animation be crispy.
No, I think that the level of Sakuga that we've seen in JJK Ufotable, I don't think that can be imitated by a machine, but
It cannot,
they're not
but
that creative.
all right. So any other very, very brief things? Because I think I'm probably going to split this episode. All right. So with that, people, we've gone into a very deep musings, just a lot. I didn't think the conversation would expand as much. And then we're also a lot of things like living in the same realm. So capitalism bad. But then what else is there? So we're all
Creativity
gonna get
gone.
kidnapped. Yeah. Money, money,
Nintendo.
money.
Nintendo is a great company, and we love it. They're not the same evil capitalists that Nintendo earned that. Disney. I'm sorry, Nintendo. I am not
You
under
cooked.
duress. There is no war in Ba Sing Se.
cooked. It's over for you.
All right, so we're just gonna put that Demon Slayer episode in a separate one, listener. So it'll be in the same feed. You can just follow it from there. So Paulina, can you hit us with the sponsor for the day? And then
Oh,
we're
yes.
on the other end, we're gonna do the recap.
So our sponsor, it's great. Are you an elder millennial or Gen Z Zoomer that is chronically online, but have found yourself unable to decipher this new slang that's come into popular conversations, like phantom tax, mewing, and Ohio Skibidi Riz? Well, our sponsor today, the Gen Alpha Slang Dictionary, brought by 123456 Corporation, can give you what you need to decipher the conversations of young people online. In this dictionary, you'll be able to understand what does it mean when someone tells you just put the fries in the bag. And you'll be able to participate in all of the hilarity that is going on. You can finally show yourself as one of the cool kids. So, for the low price of $34.95, you too can be in on the conversation. For purchase, just call the number 1-800-111-6767, and you too can have this amazing product. Again, it's 1-800-111-6767, and you can get this great resource. Remember, Gen Alpha Slang Dictionary.
All right, dope. So coming
Okay.
back, wrapping up the episode, listeners, next week again, we are going to be covering the Black Phone 2. But in the comments, if you have anything you notice in terms of pop culture or nerddom that you kind of want to, your own random musing or want to say, feel free to put it. Like, comment, subscribe, and then also check out if you've seen Demon Slayer, that review later. So words, do you have any words of encouragement?
DEI does not ruin art. Having diverse voices in the room is essential for innovation and to move us forward. So if you are a young creator who is thinking about starting a podcast, making a comment or a comic or not a comment, but a comic or any other kind of creative project, please do that. And for anyone who says that people are not interested in your story because you don't fit into the majority, they're wrong.
Dope.
All right, and for mine is that creativity's only dead if you allow it to. You can it's like just think of whatever idea in your head that pops up and try to roll with it. If it's an original idea, you know you're or if it's an idea you've never heard of before, you're on to something.
All right, perfect. So for this, we're just gonna say happy to be back for the rest of season 5. It's not goodbye forever, it's just goodbye for now.